In review. In review. Garbage keeps piling up. No, not TV reality shows, but real garbage. The Toronto Civic Workers Strike is hitting its second week now. It's the biggest municipal strike in Canadian history. The strikers include those who pick up garbage, and because of that, waste has been piling up and rotting on city streets. Mayor Mel Lastman has noticed this problem, along with the rest of us.
I feel sick about what's happening to the city. I feel sick about the garbage out there.
Toronto faced a sweltering heat wave this week, which only made the conditions worse. Not to mention, inside city workers, including daycare and clerical staff, joined the strike. The union representing city workers say they're striking to protect their jobs from privatization.
These workers, who are giving the best years of their life to this city, shouldn't be thrown on the garbage heap if the city decides to contracting out.
It's bad timing for tourism, though, as attractions like this weekend's Molson Indy are drawing visitors by the hundreds of thousands. That means more garbage and bad impressions of the city from visitors. The only population benefiting from the piles of waste is vermin. Residents are tossing their trash into parks and backyards, and a health expert appeared on CBC News to help explain what this means for the rat population.
Rats have increased dramatically in the past time since the garbage has come out. We've been diligent going after them, trying to identify the problem. A lot of the people have the rats on the outside, but that's the beginning of when they do get to the inside of the property. And if there's rats there and they step on one, they might have a chance on being bitten by one of them. They're known for carrying things like rabies and different diseases. Some of the other problems, you know, they've been known for carrying the plague, and that was way back and it killed millions of people.
The plague, eh? Yeah. Well, so far the city doesn't think the health threat is that severe yet. But citizens, be calm. The city's keeping an eye on the problem. Oh, thank goodness.
If the hot weather continues, if the continued accumulation of garbage continues unabated, that it is only going to be a matter of time before we do see rodent infestations that could present a hazard to the public.
Until then, we'll keep putting up with the smell on the streets. And who's going to forget what the health expert told us?
The plague, and that was way back, and it killed millions of people.
The U.S. military is infamous for delivering cryptic press conferences. But their technical jargon and doublespeak has infected the English language anyway. Usually through the media. Take the word incursion, which has been used thousands of times to describe attacks on Palestinians by Israel. It's an appropriate word in some respects. Its definition is, quote, an aggressive entrance into a foreign territory, a raid or invasion. But let's face it, incursion means invasion or attack.
An incursion is an invasion or an attack.
Anyway, U.S. military jargon reached absurdity this week. Spokesperson General Roger King, in a press conference, described an attack that killed about 40 people in Kabul, Afghanistan. It was a mistake. Instead of hitting Al-Qaeda operatives, the bomb hit a wedding party in an Afghan village.
The coalition forces were moving to conduct an operation. They came under fire. They called in close air support. Anti-aircraft fire was fired at the aircraft, and those targets were engaged.
Is silence copyrighted? Well, that's the question facing British composer and producer Mike Batt. He put together a one-minute silent track on a recent album. It was in a joking nod to John Cage, an avant-garde composer who died in 1992. He credited this silent track to Cage's own silent composition, titled 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds. Send in the copyright lawyers. And that's exactly what happened. Cage's publisher sent a notice of copyright infringement and claimed royalties on the track. A representative of Cage's American publisher said that the media are trying to make the publisher look foolish. And it was Bat, after all, who credited Cage as the composer. And some strange news today to give you. A sweaty-footed man in Amsterdam caused a stink by removing his shoes in a university library.
the 39-year-old Rotterdam man was fined 250 euros, which is about $375 Canadian, for defying a ban on taking off shoes in a college library. The magistrates decided his sweaty feet smelled so bad and he was a public nuisance. A recent British survey shows strange examples of how the Brits mistreat their cars. Apparently, failing to look after our cars properly can knock as much as one-third off their resale price. Here are some bizarre examples to come from the survey. One case of bizarre treatment was the woman who stuck pictures of her pop idol Cliff Richards on the car windows using super glue. Car dealers polled said some people try to sell their cars stuffed full of rubbish, smelling badly, and with suspect stains on the upholstery. And moving on. Finally, some news from my hometown of Winnipeg. Two former members of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were convicted of assault with a weapon after attacking Winnipeg City police officers with fruit and vegetables. The two retired Mounties, who are brothers, were sentenced on Tuesday to 2 months in jail. The police arrived outside their downtown apartment to investigate an unrelated break-in. The two drunk former RCMP officers then decided to hurl oranges at them from their 19th floor suite. They reloaded with apples and then cooking onions. The Winnipeg police officers later testified that they feared for their safety when the oranges and onions started exploding around them. When the officers went to their suite, they pretended to be asleep. Then the two former RCMP people tried to blame their girlfriend for throwing fruit. But at a trial, a physiotherapist testified she was too petite to throw the oranges and onions that far. In court, the brothers were referred to as Dumb and Dumber and the Gruesome Twosome. And now you know why I moved to Toronto.